Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
That's an app.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Made a decision on the quarterbacks, and then Nick will be our starting quarterback going forward. And it was obviously my decision. I worked hard on it, came to it, brought both players in this morning, spoke to both of them. After I spoke to the players, then obviously I wanted to make sure I spoke to the team, and then I wanted to get it to our media before they heard it anywhere else of where I can't control.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. That is Doug Marrone down there in Jacksonville. Nick Foles back in. There goes the Minshew era.
Wait, it's too bad, huh?
Yep. It comes to an end. Quickly, so what happened there?
Oh, he threw the ball high this week. Yeah. Very, very careless with the football.
Yeah.
It was really bad. I mean, like, wow. Like, I've watched him play a couple times. I thought he took care of the football.
It's Tom just, Coughlin.
And all came to a head.
Tom Coughlin, Doug Marrone. Dave Caldwell invested $22 million a year in
you play,
Nick Foles.
The guy that makes money plays.
And look, I think part of it, too, is like if
Mitch, you can play until you make mistakes. You make mistakes, you're out quick.
Right. Well, and I think that what I've heard, and I talked to a couple of quarterbacks about this week, like how young guys are always high in their throws, and it's a sign that you're not sure of yourself, right? Like if you're high, then you're sort of hesitating, your mechanics are off, and you saw a lot of that against Houston. So, and the other part of this, too, is like,
I mean, the throws were bad.
Yeah. It's a lot easier if Foles falls on his face over the next three or four weeks to go back to Minshew than it would be to bring Foles back off the bench if you leave him on the bench now. So I think there's that part of it, too. I also, like I don't know if you guys have watched Marrone's press conferences, but he sort of seems to start to be getting this, like, I just work here vibe. Like, you, like, watch him, like, up there. Like, it's pretty cool. It's funny. Like, you watch just one of those, like, he's tired of the BS. You know what I mean?
He was joking about something.
Was the Ramsey situation wear him out a little bit?
Well, he was great during the Ramsey situation. Like he would, like, you know, the whole, like, faking the sickness thing or whatever, like, that he was under the weather, and, like, he's, that's what he told me. I guess that's what happened.
Back's tight. Woke up, back's tight.
Wife had a baby.
Yeah. There it is. Baby's crying.
It was totally like a I just work here vibe.
Baby. Back. He was sick.
he said his back hurt. Who am I to say? I don't know.
I'm not a doctor.
My back hurts too.
So Minshew's out. This interview yesterday, Zoe and Brady will air on WBZ TV Channel 4, All Access. It's a two-parter on TV. Part one airs this Friday night at 7 o'clock. Part two is next Friday night. We've been playing some pieces of it because it's a lengthy interview, obviously, that's going to be two weeks on that show. But here's one of the clips from the early part of the interview, and it's Brady talking about knowing what a championship team looks like. Here's a little small portion of it.
I think I know you pretty well. Watch your games, call your games. We talk about you all week. Your team was 8-0 prior to the last game, and there are times where you could not feel a little resistance for you to be like, yeah, we're not where we want to be yet. People on the outside look at this and say, what is he, crazy? He's undefeated. But you mentioned expectations. Those are personal things you have set for yourself, right, as far as how you want to operate and how you want to be part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's one thing I have. It's some experience to know what, championship-level team looks like, feels like. We have other coaches who have been around that long. I've been around for 20 years, so – you know, I think you're always trying to push the urgency because you're not trying to compete for to go 8-8.
Right.
You're trying to compete for, you know, the highest accolades this team can achieve, and that's become the best we can possibly be. So, I think when we're less than that, you know, I feel it. Everyone, right. I think the responsibility of the veteran players to stress that, because there's a lot of guys who are new to the team, and you're trying to get them to understand what level it takes on a weekly basis, not just in practice, but in the games as well, to continue to improve, continue to make the strides you need to make, because you realize as the season goes, it just gets tougher, and you've got to be able to improve as, you know, you go deeper and you play better teams and the games mean more.
The team is 8-1. They've got one loss, and there's a question as to whether or not this is a championship team. Not in our minds, but it sounds like there's a question in his mind as to what they are.
It's an acknowledgement.
And they're still trying to get to that
something
point.
Right.
When I listen to that, it's an acknowledgement of what we've all sort of intimated or flat out said, which is that the schedule over the first half of the year probably did something to mask some of their issues, right? Like that there are issues there that they were able to sort of, I guess, cover up or work through without taking losses because they aren't playing the best teams in the league. And now they're
You're not fooling him.
Right.
I think that's what he's saying. Like, you're not fooling me. Like, we're 8-1. But I don't feel like we're 8-1. That's what I take out of that.
Like, we wouldn't be 8-1 if the schedule were a little different. Like, if this 5-week stretch had happened in September and October, we wouldn't be 8-1 right now, is what I think he's saying.
Right.
617-779-0985. That interview, again, airs starting Friday night on Patriots All Access at 7 o'clock. Derek is in Medford. Hey, Derek.
Oh. Hey, I have a question. Do you think Nick Folk is more of a temporary or is a long-term thing with the Patriots after Gostkowski got
injured and
off the bench?
Temporary.
You mean beyond this year, Derek? Really?
Yeah, just the rest of the season.
Oh, no. Yeah, I definitely think they would ideally like him to be the guy the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're open.
I don't think they want a rotating dwarf kickers. That means they're not doing well, if that's the case.
If they have to change it again, that means they haven't found the guy.
Right. I mean, I think after this year, all bets are off. Now, I'd have to look at his contract because there was the – and I'll look that up. But
it was a two-year deal.
Yeah.
About $6 million guaranteed, I think.
I think it'd be $2 million of dead money on it if they move on.
He might retire. He might feel great.
I feel great. This made me feel good.
Yeah, and he might retire. He might go through a rehab and say, "Do I want to risk coming back and re-injuring myself playing football, or do I want to go into my post-football life being completely healthy, knowing that I got, you know, X amount of dollars guaranteed on that two-year deal?"
He's only got $200,000 guaranteed next year.
Really?
They can walk from that really
easily. Wow. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He doesn't have much left.
I mean, it's that's nothing. So
I'd say see you later.
They've got, well, it's $200,000 plus you have to eat $1.4 million in dead cap, which is very manageable.
But some guys don't. I mean, I'm saying see you later from his perspective. Some guys don't want to end on an injury. Some guys don't want to go out like that.
Right, which is possible. But I think at the very least you're bringing in competition for him next year, right? Because
I think they got to draft their next guy.
Yeah.
I think they do. I mean, they have to start thinking about that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's interesting because, like, the only time we've seen them draft a kicker was Gostkowski, which really worked out, right? Like, Bill inherited Vinatieri, right?
Correct.
So, like, how many times have these things gone wrong? Like, Roberto Aguayo in Tampa.
I don't know. They've been able to nail the guys here.
They're good at it.
You know
but what? It's very hit or miss.
I shouldn't even say they need to draft their next guy. They need to find their next player, their next kicker, and it could be a younger guy who is out of work, who doesn't have a team, but who they bring in from the start of training camp. Because as I've been saying, you shouldn't be afraid to bring in a young player just because they lack experience, because that's what everyone says. You can't bring him in because you could put him in a spot right now in a very important kick and they may not be able to handle
because
the
spot. At one point, Tom Brady lacked experience.
Like, yeah, so did Steven Gostkowski in his first year.
Yeah.
But you drafted him in the fourth round and
you're basically like, hey, we're going to ride out whatever comes with him. Like, that was what it was when they drafted him. And people forget that part of it, that it was when they drafted
him,
there
was
no...
The response back to that, when I say that, is, well, Steven Gostkowski didn't have experience when you put him on the field in 2007, but the response is, yeah, but he also came in, you know, the springtime and was able to get a full offseason and a full training camp before going into
They had a really good look at him,
So then get someone else, whoever it might be, in an offseason, a full offseason.
They've always been so reluctant, and that's part of the issue, is they've always been so reluctant to bring in any competition for him, which I'm assuming...
has something to do with their background knowledge of the player himself and how he would handle it. That's the only reason why you wouldn't bring in a second guy to kick in camp.
Should the Patriots fear seeing the Ravens again in the playoffs? History tells us yes. I'll explain that. Coming up next, more with Bert Breer. Also, we're going to let Bert tell you a little bit about college football before he leaves here today. Also, Celtics head coach Brad Stevens at 12:50. Don't miss any of this. Right now, the action update on Zolak and Bertrand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Boston, Boston, Boston's home for sports. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Interesting choice.
Why?
Why? I like it. Yeah! 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 Strike it up!
Is this CNC Music Factory?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, make you sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Box.
This is
Jock Jams, baby. That's what this is.
Oh, it's great.
Right off the Jock Jams.
CNC Music Factory is like 1991, Jim.
If I had the bass.
Right in there. This is like back like from like the Hypercolor
this
era.
This is well written. Yeah.
Zoe's a fan of the art when it comes to the CNC Music Factory.
This makes you want to move. Makes you want to move.
Let me read from Devin Clements. He the coworker of yours? You know that name?
Is he one
of
the
Mavens? He's on SI.com.
He's one of the Mavens.
He's one of the Mavens.
Okay.
He's
on SI.com. Patriots Maven.
Best Patriots coverage in the business.
He's on the Patriot Maven on the SI.com. It says, heading into a bye week, one typically wouldn't bat an eye at a New England Patriots team that has one loss on their record after 9 weeks of the regular season. The reigning Super Bowl champions are in first place in the AFC and have a 99% chance of making the postseason. But this 8-1 Patriots team has a lot to worry about going forward. Not just because of the opponents they have to face going forward in the regular season, but because of the AFC rival they may have to face again in the postseason. The one loss on New England's record came at the hands of the Baltimore Ravens, who beat them on primetime football week 9, 37-20. So this is going to the possibility of a rematch. Okay?
Yep.
Per NFL research, New England, 3-6 in playoff rematches against teams they lost to in the same regular season since 2001. More importantly, over the past five such games, the Patriots are 0-5.
So there's probably a loss to Denver in there, right?
2015 AFC Championship game against Denver,
right,
is the most recent.
And that was like
the second most recent.
Baltimore.
2011 AFC Championship game against the Ravens.
Yep.
The last two times they had playoff rematches from the regular season.
And I totally remember
2015 and 2011, they lost both of them.
And the Giants won. I think we all remember that. That was like a late November game in Foxborough, right? Didn't like Jake Ballard had a big game,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
Right
in, yep.
Yeah. Huh.
And then the Colts, Spikes, divorce. Right? Spikes was covering him.
Yeah. I do think like you are going to, I mean, look, we talked about this last week, right? The teams that have stopped that offense, the teams that have dealt with Lamar Jackson best are the teams that have faced them twice. So the Chargers beat the brakes off of them in the playoffs, right? Well, they had played them like 3 weeks before and the Ravens ran all over them 3 weeks before that, right? The Browns this year, the Browns did a nice job. It's one of the few games the Browns have really played to their like potential. But the Browns played them earlier this year. They beat them. They had faced them before. So I do think there's an element here
And like it's like the Navy, Army, Air Force element, right, that we talked about last week, where it's like the first time you see him, I think there's a little bit of a shock factor right. to it. And when you get to see him a second time, it's a different story.
Well, Teddy Bruschi had this tweet the other night that people jumped all over, which was, to beat this Raven team in the playoffs, this almost had to happen, was what Teddy Bruschi tweeted after the game. Which, you know, you say, hold on. They've lost in the regular season to teams before, and those same teams have come back and beat them again.
Yeah, but I think
in the playoffs.
I think what Teddy's talking about is the.
Again, I get that. I understand it. I mean, because when I first saw it, I'm like, oh yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Because I said right off the bat, I'm like, you know what? If these two teams met again,
and it would be here, and I think that's more.
You'd have adjustments. You wouldn't play the same style. You wouldn't play the same way you just did.
Right.
You'd play a better game.
It's like, get this one out of the way now. That's the point of that tweet, really.
But
like, fix it.
To go back to our original conversation today, Bert, you're also facing a competent coaching staff on the other side who probably make adjustments of their own.
Right.
And you've got to account for that, too.
And you got to account for the fact that the Ravens' defense hasn't been exactly what they've wanted it to be, and that they're still growing on that side of the ball. They've been without Hollywood Brown, who's like a huge piece to the puzzle of them. He was just coming back last week. So you're reintegrating a rookie on that side there. The Ravens have a lot of room to grow, too. That's the other piece of this, is that, like, you know, you're going to grow, and you're going to have the back knowledge of having played them once now, having played that offense once now. But, you know, they're also going to get a heck of a lot better.
They're going to get better on defense.
I mean, they should get better on defense, yeah. I mean, like, look at how many new pieces they've got there. Earl Thomas is new. Marcus Peters is new. The middle linebacker wasn't signed until October 2nd. Josh
no, but they Bryan. Said they couldn't stop the no huddle. They were getting gassed. They need to fix that. They need to figure out what person, like the way New England adapted in the second quarter.
Right.
You took the lineman out. They need to find what personnel group defensively works against that.
And they've got good coaching, and their defensive coordinator, Wink Martindale. This is something that we didn't hit on last week, but I think as a factor, Wink was Josh's defensive coordinator in Denver. So Wink has an intimate knowledge of the way that the Patriots play offense because he was in the same building with Josh.
Same thing with Roman. I was like, it's almost like the perfect storm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it feels to me like it's a bad matchup in a certain way where they've got so much speed on offense and they're able to hit you so many different ways. And they're a power running game that has a quarterback who runs 4-2, right?
Yeah, they got three viable tight ends.
Well, so the solution to this, right? Like the solution to this last year was what the Chargers did in the playoffs, which the Chargers played seven defensive backs, right? Mm-hmm. And so they had safeties at linebacker. Well, what did the Ravens do to counteract that? They signed Mark Ingram. And so now they've got like a 230-pound bull at tailback where it's like, okay, you want to put safeties on the field? Like, let's see how this goes for you, you know? And so they've got a lot of answers within what they do. And I do think that the speed element, like because you're an older defense, that could be a little bit of an issue. Dealing with Lamar, dealing with Hollywood Brown. There are matchup things here that weren't great for the Patriots. That said, I do think they're going to get a better handle the second time. If they have to play them again, they'll have a better handle on what the Ravens are throwing at them just naturally having played again.
And there were like three deflections too that could have been picked. Like there's so many times things bounced New England's way the rest of the season, but everything bounced the wrong way the other night.
Right. And
he'll turn it over. He tried to give it to him a couple times.
I mean, the key against Lamar is get them in long yardage.
Yeah.
And the Patriots just didn't do that. Like that was, I mean, they were constantly, I mean, so the first drive, how often were they in third and long?
They weren't.
Never.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, that first third down, too, Van Noy had him, and he almost threw sort of a dirt ball. Tight end made a hell of a catch.
And third and long is a different thing with them, too, because they can be in third and four, and that's still a rundown for them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, where it's not for any other team. I'm talking about getting them in third and eight, third and ten. Like, how often did that happen? It just didn't happen. And so, like, the way you beat the Ravens offense is you either make them play from behind on the scoreboard or you make them play from behind on the sticks. And if you get them down the way the Ravens got the Patriots down, then it becomes much harder for them to run that offense the way they want to run it. You get them behind the sticks and they have to throw, you're talking about something different altogether because you don't have to worry as much about what they're bringing with the offense.
So if you're the Patriots, you want to avoid the Ravens here in the playoffs.
Who would you rather play? Would you rather play the Ravens or the Chiefs?
I think I'd rather play the Chiefs.
Ravens.
The Chiefs defense looked a little lively against the Vikings.
Chiefs could score.
And so, like, they got Chris Jones back, who's like probably like legitimately the third or fourth best player on their entire roster.
Every game I've watched of the Chiefs this season, I've watched them in every game. I'm like, oh, man, how are they going to beat the Patriots? This team doesn't beat the Patriots today. And so I admit I did not see that game.
It's a good Viking. I mean, the reason why you would give the Chiefs some hope and that means something, that they played better like in a one-off like that, right? New defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo. It takes a while for his system
to
take.
Who I respect.
It takes a while for his system to take.
How could you not here in New England?
That year in New England when he was the new defensive coordinator of the Giants, it was a little messy at first, and they got their act together. And so you've got a new DC. You've got a new edge rusher in Frank Clark. You've got a new leader to the secondary in Tyrann Mathieu. There are a lot of new pieces where it was going to take time. If they get Mahomes back healthy, there are a lot of ifs here.
What do you make of the Raiders 4-4? Like, I'm looking at, like, okay, teams that are in the hunt there as we throw up the graphics there in the AFC, because you keep mentioning Chiefs. Is there any chance the Chiefs could have a hiccup or two? Like, say they lose in New England, lose one more, and the Raiders sneak in.
I mean, I think
the Chargers are starting to come on.
Would you argue with me if I told you that was the toughest division in the conference right now?
No.
I think it is. Like, I think the Chargers are like,
it's not the North or South.
The Chargers had a lot of bad injury luck. They had Gordon's holdout. Like, they're starting to get healthier. They beat the crap out of the Packers on Sunday. The Raiders, I think, are legitimately making progress. And everybody made fun of the Mayock hire.
Sure.
That first draft class he had, like, all those guys are playing. And they're beating. And all those guys are playing.
Quietly have gotten a 4-4.
And Gruden, I think, and again, people poke fun at Gruden. Gruden's still a good coach. Like, Derek Carr is playing better than he was. So you're relying on a lot of rookies right now, and it seems like they've hit on a lot of their draft picks. They don't even have the kid who some people thought was going to be the best of them in Abram. But Josh Jacobs is the offensive rookie of the year right now. And they've got guys playing on defense, Max Crosby, Clelin Ferrell. The Raiders are one of these teams. We're going to see them tomorrow night against the Chargers. Like, that division's not – that could mean the Chiefs have to play wild card weekend. Being in that
division. That's what I'm saying. Like, if the Raiders can pull off this win, like, all of a sudden, you got to start talking about the Raiders at 5-4.
Right. Well, I mean, like, and if the Chiefs, like, if you're not one of the top two seeds, like, if you just take damage playing in that division,
right?
Like, you're gonna wind up having to play an extra game. Because, I mean, like, look, the Ravens, the Steelers is admirable what they've done. I still think the Ravens are a better team. And then you got the Browns and the Bengals. And so the Ravens right now are in a position where, because for the same reason the Patriots are 8-1, because of the division that they play in, like, they're going to be able to maybe create some space between themselves and the Texans and the Chiefs and get in position to get a bye.
Bert Breer is with us, and his college team is number one in the nation now.
Damn straight.
We'll talk a little bit about Ed Orgeron in LSU.
Go Tigers.
You watch college ball. You want to talk about a little quarterback play for us before you go?
Sure.
One final segment with Bert. We want to ask him about quarterbacks in college football before we let him go today. And your calls, 617-779-0985. We'll have Brad Stevens, Celtics head coach, with us at 12:50 today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Sports. Greenfield.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Who's hungry? Speaking of the Brits, did you ever see the Duran Duran concert at Wembley? And like the whole royal family's there, all getting down. Like their favorite band, Prince William, Prince Henry, Harry.
Royal family.
The boys, yeah, they get down. They were getting down to they were like front row, like getting down to this. This is, I wanted to be there.
I wanted to be there.
Party with those dudes.
Bert Breer is with us, his final segment right now. Bert, your team's number one. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You can't win the national title in November, though.
Support was a huge part of their success.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Couldn't have done it without
really
me.
Playing nobody's really a big part of their success, too.
Should I give or take the
45 points on Saturday, though. You know about this, Beetle?
No,
What's the line of the game?
They play Maryland
on Saturday.
Oh, that's what they have. I didn't
45 point dog.
45 point dog.
It's all right.
You guys want to make a friendly wager on that?
Not really. I'm not touching that. Maryland stinks. I'm not sitting here pumping Maryland's
tires. I like your honesty.
Yeah. That's, they stink.
You like their new coach?
The only thing they got right last week was they changed their uniforms back to the. You like?
Oh, those were sweet.
Aren't they bad?
Yeah,
badass.
Those were sweet.
Burt, how many points?
Bit of a quarterback factory.
Yeah,
here.
Neil O'Donnell, Wilbur,
Scott Zolak, Sub Zo.
You can't forget Zolak.
Second and four.
My man Levy.
That was McShay at the end, right? Going, yeah. Like, can't forget.
I thought it was greasy. Jim said it was McShay.
I thought it was greasy. Like, I tweeted out that it was greasy. Somebody corrected me. It was McShay.
Yeah, McShay does the on-field stuff. He does like the third guy on the field.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait for LSU, yeah. Alabama. Bye weekend football, man.
All right, oh, it's going to be awesome.
So here's a question for you.
Minnesota, Penn State this weekend, too, is sort of interesting. Both teams.
Penn State quietly gets into the four spot there. Yep. They're just doing their,
over Clemson,
doing their thing.
So Brady sits down for his interview with Zoe yesterday, and Zoe admitted today that even as he did the interview, he thought to himself, could this be the last one I do? Could this be the last Brady Zoe bye week interview to ever happen?
That creep into your head?
Crossed his mind.
It didn't in the previous 3 years.
Yeah.
So I think it's fair to ask, you know, where does Jarrett Stidham rank among the top quarterbacks right now in college? Would you rather have Stidham or would you rather have some of the guys who could be coming out in the coming years?
Yes.
I want to ask fair you question. This.
If they got to go into the draft, like,
can I rephrase that question?
Sure, go ahead.
Give me your top two that are under center and not in predominantly, college? Not in the gun, doing this here. Because I think you look at the San Francisco 49ers now.
Yep.
What's the best thing about Garoppolo? He's under center and he's getting out quick. And they're using fullback, tight ends, quick throws in the flat, crisscross routes, all that. Look at Brissett, under center a lot. It's kind of interesting how they've developed him here. Like, the next guy, I think, needs to be able to function under center.
Well, but Stidham played.
You're not putting a guy in a gun.
Stidham played exclusively shotgun at Auburn, though, didn't he?
Yes,
right.
But in the preseason, they got his ass under center.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he learned to function like that. Well, you know, not to say that you have to be under center like that the entire time. But if you're different, like a Lamar Jackson, you're going to adapt your offense to fit that unicorn.
Right.
And there aren't many unicorns, though. Who do you like? Who do you like coming out?
Over the next 2 years?
We don't have to go two, just maybe the next year.
Well, I mean, the reason I say 2 years is because, and I think, Beetle, you were going to allude to him, was Trevor Lawrence is going to be in the 2021
game. Yes, he is.
We know that. Like, we already know he'll be the number one pick in 2 years.
Hasn't he had a little bit of a step back this year?
A little bit, yeah. I think part of that, though, is, like, the fact that we're watching him a little closer, like,
the scrutiny is more. There's more scrutiny on his game.
That always happens. You know, like, am I sure that he wasn't perfect last year? Like, am I sure that he was making this throw and that throw and wasn't throwing picks last year? I didn't watch him that closely or as closely early when he was starting at Clemson. I would tell you, like, next year's class.
About like a Fromm.
There's good depth. Now, Fromm is interesting to me because I think Fromm is the guy who would be the fit here, especially because you're going to be drafting a little later.
Uh-huh.
What people have told me about Fromm, tough, fantastic teammate.
Played early. Real true freshman.
He beat out Justin Fields.
Yep.
Beat out Jacob Eason. Jacob Eason is now the starter at Washington. Fields is at Ohio State.
I like Fromm.
So he's beat out a couple of guys. One thing that came up when I was asking guys about Fromm, because there are going to be some people who are going to look at him and say, oh, you know, he's like a talent-wise, he's a third or fourth round pick.
But is he upgrade over Stidham?
But one thing that a couple of the guys who've worked with him said, coaches who like volume are going to love this kid. And they brought up Gruden, like John Gruden, right? And said,
what do you mean by volume?
Like, who want to run a multiple offense, who want a kid who can handle a lot, who want a kid who can, like, you just put a lot on his shoulders.
That
doesn't
seem like Stidham has passed that test too, though? Because I'm comparing whoever this guy would
be. So Stidham, you got to remember, like, there was a huge learning curve there for him because he was coming from an offense that was so simple. Like, that Auburn offense. That's the Cam Newton offense.
Right.
And there's nothing to that offense, you know?
That's amazing.
Like, at Georgia, like, so one of the reasons why Fromm has been able to survive and beat out all of these guys is because of his know-how. And when I was told, and this was over the summer, when I was talking to one of these guys about Fromm, like, okay, like, coaches who like volume are going to love this kid because he can handle a lot, right? He can run an offense, and he can set protections, and he can go through progressions, and he can do all those different things. It just struck me, New England. Like, and they brought up Gruden as the example because that's what Gruden looks for too. But it just struck me as, like, this kid would be a really good fit in New England. Now, he's not as physically talented as Tua. He's not as physically talented as Justin Herbert.
See, but Kirby Smart's been defending him lately because he's been criticized out in the public that he's not putting up the numbers he did when he's like a freshman or sophomore.
Well, and you also see the clutch throws too, Zoe. I don't know if you watched the game on Saturday.
I watched it.
The throw he made at the end of the game to beat them.
I like the kid.
Balls out throw. Yeah. And I don't think you underrate this part of it either. Like that whole Nick Saban pipeline from that's carrying over now. Like they drafted two Georgia kids in the first round 2 years ago in Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel. So like
What do you mean Nick Saban?
Well, it's Kirby Smart's a Nick Saban guy.
Oh, okay, that's right.
And so,
I'm you're talking
like the relationship between Nick and Bill has obviously carried over to Kirby and Bill now.
Right, they like the Georgia players.
So now you have sort of a pipeline there where, and it's like the same thing we've talked about, like he did it with Urban for a number of years. Obviously, it's existed forever with Shiano, who's probably going to be going back to Rutgers, so that'll probably come back to life here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's that trust factor too, and if Kirby really loves Jake Fromm, I mean, Bill really trusts Kirby Smart, it seems like.
But see, I watched Stidham a lot too when he was at Auburn because we would always be traveling and Auburn would usually be slid in the CBS Saturday night game of the night. And I liked Stidham when he was Auburn.
Yep.
You know, against big games like Florida, Alabama. You know?
Yeah. And so, like, so to me, Stidham is a little different. Stidham was like a distressed asset. That's how I think they looked at Stidham. That's also, by the way, how they looked at, why is his name? Etling, the year before, where they felt like Etling played in a bad offense at LSU. And there was talent there. There was something to work with that hadn't really been harvested because of the situation he was in. That's how they looked at Stidham. Like, Stidham was like sort of a distressed asset because he'd been playing in the wrong sort of offense. That's not what Fromm is. Like, Fromm is in an offense that's a good fit for him, and he's showing a lot of the things already that you want to see.
All right, Bert. Appreciate your time today. We'll talk to you next week. Bert Breer, the MMQB. We'll talk to Brad Stevens, Celtics head coach, next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Marcus Smart comes up with it, gets it away to Kemba Walker. He will walk it across the timeline, and the Celtics, who led pretty much from start to finish, are going to survive a furious fourth quarter rally by the Cavs. The clock hits triple zeros, and the Boston Celtics, sample size or not, now have the best record in the NBA. They've won five in a row, and they hold off the Cavs. The final score, Boston 119, Cleveland 113.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. It's Brad Stevens joining us now. Hi, Coach.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Coach? How you doing?
Good. You?
Hey, doing well. Doing well. I'm not flying out of the chute like I did last week. But
slowing things down this week.
Slowing things down this week. I'll inundate you with three questions at once. Gordon Hayward. I mean, we all know he had a great night, but personally for him to do it in the building where, you know, you had that horrific injury, how big was that for him?
Good question. I don't really know what he would say about that. You're welcome. I don't know what he would say about that.
Shut up, guys.
I think he's over it.
Yeah.
He had a good game there last year too, so I think that it's 2 years out. So I think he said this after the game. I think that he's felt really good now for, you know, I'd say 5 or 6 months. So I think that, you know, it's been good that he's been able to get the work in that he has. And he was great last night.
I mean, like I play with guys that have blown out knees in certain stadiums. Like, you always like, oh, God, we're going down there again. You know, it's always tough going back to the place where, you know, your season ends, so to speak.
I believe that. Yeah. I believe that. But he is, obviously, it's not something that I bring up and, you know, have a depth conversation about with him. But so I would defer to him, but I think that there's certainly the first time he went back was probably some of that. a little bit less each time you probably go back. And, you know, he obviously is, he feels good, he looks good, and he played really well last night.
Is he approaching something that you envisioned for him when he first joined the team before he went down, you know, 5 minutes into the first regular season game, or has he already attained that point?
That's a good question. I think the biggest thing is that we don't want anybody to be anything that they're not. He's a guy that's going to make the right basketball play. Yesterday, the great basketball play that opened itself up was, you know, when he got to the rim, he was able to finish. You know, he was able to shoot that little 6 to 8 foot turnaround and that little pull up that he has. And those were the right plays. The bigs were back, and those were the ones that they were giving up when they eventually came up on his pick and rolls. He did a good job of delivering it to both Tice and to Rob Williams. And so I think the, you know, he's just a guy that makes the right reads. He's not going to force things that aren't there. Sometimes you do want him to be a little bit more assertive and aggressive. But, you know, as far as making the right basketball play, I'd say that he does so more often than not. And, you know, yesterday that right play was to shoot the ball on those drives.
I know you offered a positive update on Jaylen Brown before the game last night. Is there any more positive news to deliver today since that point?
Had a good workout this morning in Boston. Is going to go to see the doc that he's our team doc there in Boston, and then we'll get word on whether he's okay to travel to Charlotte or not. I have no idea what that means for shoot around tomorrow, game tomorrow, if he'll be able to play, if he'll be on a minutes restriction. I haven't gotten into all that stuff yet.
And when he is able to play, will you consider easing him back in, bringing him off the bench, you know, to sort of get him back into the mix?
We'll figure out. I think the biggest thing is figuring out where, you know, what his restrictions are. It's not like he's missed a month. He's missed 9 days. Yeah. So, he was playing really well in those last two games, the home game against Toronto and then the road game against New York. I do think we've got to figure out how to strengthen our bench and from the standpoint of scoring. And so I think that whether you bring him off, Marcus off, whoever off, you're going to have more guys that have been there, done that, in those groups. Obviously we'll rotate, you know, Tatum in that group some, or Hayward in that group some, and we'll just figure out how to make that best work. But I like our team, but we've got a lot of room to improve, and we'll, you know, I think the more good players we have available, the better.
I know we ripped up 5 in a row. I know it's early and the season's a long season. It takes a while to form your team's identity, but like you hear a lot of people talk about him, fans watching his team, that the fun thing about them is they don't quit. Your teams have always fought and never quit. But do you sense that there's that, not to say it's different from last year or another prior year prior to that, but you guys got something here as far as moxie.
I think the greatest sign a team is the willingness to fight together, you know, on the defensive end of the floor. Doesn't mean you're always going to be the best defense in the league, but for us this year being, you know, in the top 7 to 10, you know, will give us a chance. And then on the other thing is when you get down, you stay together. You know, everybody in this league is going to be able to come back quickly with the right frame of mind, you know, just with a couple bounces of the ball because of the, you know, the 3-point shot, the talent level of the players in the league, the skill, the shooting. But it is a mindset that you have to have. And we've been fortunate more often than not that we've had it. But that's not something that you can just count on and lean on. You got to bring it every day because, you know, when you're playing, especially on the road, you're gonna face these runs. You're gonna face these adverse times, and you're gonna have to find ways to stick together.
What has been Marcus Smart's impact on the team and on the starting five as far as, you know, the defense that he has played? And he's matched up against some big guys here in the last week. Whether it be Giannis or Julius Randle, Kevin Love. I mean, he's had some big guys that he's gone after. What's sort of been the impact? Has it been infectious, do you think, for your team?
Well, I think he's been really good. The issue with that is then we don't have him guarding their best guards. And that's one of our issues with, you know, Jaylen not being available. And I think that's something that when we get fully healthy, you know, when you have both those guys on the floor, you can put Jalen on some of those bigger, stronger guys that post and you know, or overpower people with their size and strength. And then you can put Marcus out on the perimeter. I think where we've come up a little short in the last few games is defending perimeter and defending downhill, you know, simply because we've had to put Marcus on that spot. And so Marcus provides a lot of versatility. Doesn't matter if he starts or not. He's a guy that brings great energy. He competes. His defense in the last 6 years, not just the last three games, has been ridiculous. And, you know, we think he's the best defender around. And I think that that's, you know, high praise, but he certainly deserves that.
How much you pay for your Halloween costume?
I don't know. It's a good question. I may have... That's like three good questions today, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I've worked. They broke my balls for a week now, every day.
Yeah. I went into my son's closet and took it out. My son, it was actually my son's tie. I don't think he's ever worn...
that's a Nordstrom's tie.
Once in his life.
Yeah.
Is it really?
That looks like a Nordstrom's tie to me. Did you practice the thumbs up and the hairstyle in the mirror and everything?
I didn't do the thumbs up. I was just holding two pieces of candy.
Oh, I thought I saw two thumbs up.
So he did that... So Buttigieg did that in the morning last week.
Yeah.
And so then, I was, you know, my wife and a couple of our friends were like, you have to do something. And I was like, you know, I'm all about all of that stuff, as you can imagine. And so, but yeah, it was not that hard to put a tie on real quickly, take a picture and hold a couple pieces of candy.
So this was not coordinated.
That's the way I was handing out trick or treating. What's that?
So it was not coordinated ahead of time. You didn't know this. You didn't know this was going to happen.
No idea. Saw it just like you saw it.
I think you did a better Pete Buttigieg than Pete Buttigieg did Brad Stevens.
I agree. Yeah.
That's what I think.
Because you never wear a hat.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I don't think
you never wear a hat when you guys see me, but I wear a hat a lot.
Yeah,
but
you wear a hat in disguise.
But
I got you.
I mean, to be critical of Mayor Pete here, he could have gone with like your practice type of gear. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Like, he could have done that. Yes. Like, Brad Stevens at practice and
with a basketball tucked under his arm.
Yeah, with like a basketball in his arm. I mean, that would have been a little bit of a better look.
But that's probably true. And I didn't really look closely at the play. I don't know if it would have really fit the personnel or not. We have to look at all that stuff probably a little bit closer.
I think you should. I think you should kind of fire off an email to him and let him know.
You got to talk to him too, because his signage.
Something tells me he's got bigger things going on, and I act like I've got bigger things going on. But I guess that's what we make a big deal out of sports too.
The big thing,
really?
You got to talk to him about his signage. It looks like he's standing in front of a stack of like 30 packs of beer.
It looks like
maybe he's trying to ingratiate himself to beer drinkers.
A bottle and can collection.
It's creative
area at a package store. That's what it looks like. But yeah, all right. So coach, off to a great start. Good luck the next week. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep, thanks guys. See you.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Brad Stevens joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
We all had a good question.
I thought that went well.
1, 2, 3, right?
I don't think Beetle did.
He didn't give me a compliment.
Who had the Halloween question?
Was that yours?
No, Zoe.
Oh.
Two good ones.
Wow. Still.
So you shouldn't have brought it up. Now it's awkward.
No, we'll share it. It's
fine.
You know?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
What's awkward, Jim?
Beetle feels left out.
No.
It's okay.
Hey.
You don't seem
sometimes
okay.
You miss.
I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Admit that you were hurt by it.
A little bit.
I'm sorry you're hurt.
Square.
I hope Buttigieg goes as Brad Stevens again next year and reworks the costume.
Thanks.
Yeah, he did a better job. He did a better job on Buttigieg instead of.
He did.
Yeah.
He did it in. Now he has, you know,
Buttigieg
less
walked.
To do to get ready for it, but he did it in 5 minutes. He's like, oh, I could do that.
There's send him a, you know, some warm ups for next year.
Yeah.
You know, stick him in the mail right now.
And a basketball.
And a whistle. Basketball's tough to ship.
Brad's got his arms crossed a different way than most people. I don't know. Buttigieg should have worked on that more because he just got her across on. Brad's are, it's more like, I don't know what it is. It's like an upright, or maybe it's both thumbs outside, thumbs inside.
Skip the staffers.
Yeah.
I mean,
unless you're going to dress them up in as basketball players, give them the boot.
If he wanted to get really crazy with it, stand in front of a green screen with like a garden background behind you with that kind of like the closed mouth, half smile, but you're kind of like, you're a little upset at maybe a call. And you're right, Zoe.
Jay Stu like this behind with him in the crowd.
With the very Stevens-esque arm fold.
There's something about his posture.
Zoe is right about his signage looking like 30 racks.
Oh, that's all calculated.
It looks like
sure.
Looks like he needs a standee and he could give away a Yeti cooler. It says Pete on the side.
Like, what does that say? Narragansett beer? What? what does that say behind him?
It's like Pete's Pub.
If he promised a Yeti cooler to like every 10th voter, what would his poll numbers be like?
Better than they are now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yetis for everybody.
But you don't know if you're the 10th one, so you got to do it just in case.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Because cost prohibitive to give away a Yeti cooler to every single person who votes for
it. 10% of us get a Yeti?
Did Jones give away a Yeti cooler at his appearance?
He did last week.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.